Don't talk bad about anybody. And I think Justin Elser is going to join us too, but he'd probably be here about 8:30.
Yeah.
He can give us a little update as well. So, Pankaj, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to wait for the rest of the group to come to talk about the meeting?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to do is have some ontology developers come together and formulate a strategy on how we want to move forward. And there are so many different kinds of ontologies that we are working on. And so where are the overlaps? What are the structures? How are we going to curate it? And obviously there is this CRUP ontology mappings and where they are heading and how they are being used. So I think it's good time to have a face-to-face meeting and devise a strategy on, this is the core group that's going to do the major development, but we also want to invite, as we said in our proposal, that it is going to be a distributed ontology development project instead of us doing everything. So we want to invite a few strategic partners to begin with, who are more familiar with the ontology work, and then start with that. So maybe forming a dedicated group, let's say for legumes. Another one could be for tuber species, cassava and potato kind of things. So, but very focused, not to expand too much into the great detail. And I don't know if other folks are ready to do the ontology development or not. Do they have time to do it or not? But I think Medicago and soybean person and few folks from peanut and other commercial lentil legume are almost ready. They have large data sets and they can go ahead. That could be a targeted new community that we focus on. Other, which ones we were thinking about, was rice. Maize and wheat is another option from Summit, and cassava probably. So I don't know how widely you want to expand, but I think we have a core group and one or two species or clade representatives to begin with. That would be great, and then we expand on to bringing other folks.
Yeah, I think it would be really good for our core team to get together and really focus and maybe not have too many other groups, but
yeah,
really get a strategic plan in place for where we're going.
Yes, and and I'm planning, let's say, I was thinking of doing it in October or November, but if that's a that's an up time option. Sooner we do it.
And where time cut?
Sometime mid October or early November.
But you want this to take place in Oregon?
Yes.
That's what we're thinking of, yeah.
Okay, so I could do first week of November.
So that's
Yeah, that actually is kind of what we're looking at. We were kind of looking at maybe people arriving like November 1st.
No, that wouldn't work. It would have to be
towards
the end of that week or the beginning of the following week. Or any time in the following week, actually.
So the week of 9th.
Yeah. Either second half of the week of the 2nd or the first half of the week of the 9th would be best.
Say again, Barry, the second half of...
So let's say from the 4th to the 11th, any time in that window.
Yeah, unfortunately, having a meeting over that weekend at OSU is going to be problematic because there won't be any place
This is going to be on the weekend?
Well, we were thinking of doing it more or less during the week.
Yeah, I'm happy with the week, but then, hang on, there is another restriction. I think it's going to have to be 5th and 6th or 12th and 13th for me. Fourth or the 11th flying out.
And Pankaj, you're away the 28th through the 31st, right? Of October.
Yes. I couldn't do October anyway.
Genome informatics meeting.
Yeah. Okay, so I think what we're gonna have this issue with everybody. So what I'll do is put together a doodle poll and send this around to everyone.
Yeah.
And try and work out constraints with regard to availability of rooms on the days beforehand.
I'm sorry, Barry, you're kind of breaking up there.
Try and pick those days which are such that you will have the room available.
Yeah, that's an issue with classes being in and with the sports activities that go on campus here really inundate the town. We're not a very big town.
Yeah.
And Pankaj, let's talk maybe a little bit about how many days we're looking at, because that's important in terms of putting together the...
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe
3 to 4 days.
I think Barry and Chris, I think we need somewhat like close to about 2 to 3 days. And other ontology developers can stay a couple of days longer, and they can all be here for about a week or more, whichever works out for them.
Yeah.
So that we can actually, whatever we learn or come together on resolutions, we actually get to work for a few more days and get it started.
Really get some work done on it. Yeah, the hands-on time is important too.
Yeah, so for the ontology developers, I would say about a week or more if they're interested. And for Barry and Chris and Seth, if they're coming, I think 2.5, 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days would be great.
And that would probably include the Prodigy training as well. Yes?
The Prodigy training could go at any point during the 3 days when you need us to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would probably arrive in such a way that I wouldn't need to go through the Prodigy training.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So Prodigy can have meeting. Prodigy training can be on day one.
Depending when people are here. I mean, we would want to do that when the curators are here, and Barry and Chris probably don't want to sit through that.
Chris is the one who's going to do it, actually.
Oh, okay. Well,
Chris is the one who's going to do
it. Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay.
But otherwise, who's going to do the Prodigy training?
Well, Marie-Angeli could help with it.
That is true, but I think Chris has developed a lot of things with the Go consortium.
Sure, sure.
And so I think
that's no problem.
Good idea to do it.
So we can figure out when everyone's available, and then we can start figuring out what we're going to do on what day for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the really important thing that needs to be discussed at this meeting is, you know, how these ontologies are going to fit together, and how we're going to, you know, build this product and really have a strong plan in our minds so that we can push ahead with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Marie-Angelique, what does your schedule look like in terms of, I know you're away 1 week in October, but it looks like,
yeah, about that, it's okay for me.
Yeah.
Anytime is fine.
I could do it early in October, but that's getting close now.
Oh, no, I you won't be able to get me for October, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're busy all of October?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, November is not the best month for us here. But we'll work on it and see what we can come up with, and we need to kind of decide this fairly quickly within the next week or two.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm going to get full for November very soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I will send you, Laurel, a window in November.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And which is the airport that I would fly out to?
Well, there's two options really here. The larger airport is Portland Airport.
Okay.
Portland, not Portland, Maine. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours from here. And there's more choices of connections and more, they're not as expensive. But we have a regional airport that's about an hour away, which is an option too, which is Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
So that's convenient to get here. It's a little bit, not as many choices in options as terms of connection okay. to get
so
there.
Barry, is Buffalo connected to Denver?
No idea. I can check.
Yeah.
Is that what you recommend, to go through Denver?
Denver or Detroit, and then you have options to go directly to Eugene. Or
okay. I'll work on that.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few flights to Salt Lake with Delta too into Eugene.
Yeah, Salt Lake and Minneapolis also is a good
yeah.
option.
Unfortunately, you got to stop somewhere in the Midwest.
unless you go to Chicago, and then you get an American.
Yeah. Just make sure it's one of their planes that's certified to fly, though.
Okay.
All right, so let's move along here. I put together some notes on the agenda page, and I haven't shared my screen, but I can do that. Let me see here. So, Barry, I'm really glad that you're on the call here, because we have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
Looks like Justin has joined us. Hi, Justin. I don't know if he has audio or not.
Hello.
Oh, good. You're there. Okay, great. So, let me just share my screen. Oh, I'll just do my Firefox. Here we go. Okay. So, and bring you up to date a little bit about what we've been doing over the summer and what we've been working on the ontology areas. Our goal... I'm sorry. Hello. Oh, hi, Chris. Our goal this summer has been to get the plant ontology ready to have a final release in it. So we've been working fairly diligently on that this summer. Justin's been helping with that, and Austin's been assisting, and we've had a couple students in the group over the summer who've been helping. So we're getting very close to having this ready to go, and the plan is that the plant ontology is going to be released in conjunction with the plant developmental stage paper update that's coming out.
So the plant ontology, you mean the PO and not the combined?
PO. Yeah, yeah, not plantiome, but the plant ontology. The plant ontology itself. So we've been working on developing some new association data files that are going to go in there. You're probably familiar with the Plant Phenotype Pilot Project paper that we published in February of 2015. So that was a survey of 6 plant species. Morphological mutants in 6 plant species. We did this with Annika and George. And there was a large group of people from the Phenotype RCN project that worked on this. And so there were 6 plant species and a large number of annotations to describe morphological mutants that are associated with genes in that paper. So we took those data sets and reformatted them for inclusion as PO annotation files. And so we extracted all the PO annotations from all those 6 plant species. And
is that expression data? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So associated with these specific mutants. So that we have that data set up on, for the PO annotations, up on our test browser right now, and we're just going through some testing and making sure that everything is working and everything is working.
But, okay, so it's an expression for mutants.
Yeah, it's genes that are associated with these mutant phenotypes.
Okay, but...
No, maybe it's not exactly expression, but it's mutants where the mutation is associated with a specific gene.
Okay, so why don't you use TO for that?
Well, I'm getting to that. We're talking about the plant ontology right now.
So, Chris, here's the idea. What we're trying to do is we need to close the plant ontology individual or it's only the plant ontology specific updates. And so we, in order to do that, what we're trying to do is these guys have done some additions and edits on the plant ontology file. And some mutant phenotype gene annotations have come in for about a few thousand. So those would be released with the plant ontology annotations as the last PO release or as a standalone release. From the next point onwards, that would be Plantium 1.0. From that point onwards, plant ontology is released along with the Plantium.
Right.
I don't want to be mean, so let's done with that and then move on to.
Right. So once this gets done, then we're going to push that new data and all the new ontologies to the Plantium website for the, as Pankaj said, for the Plantium 1.0 version. So this, what I was talking about right here, were just the annotations for the PO, but in that data set, of course, we have also annotations for Go, EO, and in that project, they did not associate them with TO, but we've been working on developing those TO annotations over the summer, and so those annotations are also being tested and cleaned up and finished, and those will go into the Plantium 1.0 version. So the big chunk of this is, of course, the Arabidopsis file, because there's about, I don't know what, there's about 5,000 lines.
Yeah, about 5,000.
Yeah, about 5,000 EQ statements. So this has been an interesting exercise over the summer. We've also been working with Mary Schaefer. I've been working with Mary Schaefer, and she has a large data set from the an RNA-seq experiment. We have a data set in the PO right now from Sean Kepler's group, which was a Nimblegen microarray analysis. They had about 70 tissue stage combinations in maize, and they've gone back and done an RNA-seq experiment. And that data is in preparation. I have it on the agenda here in association with the PO release, but we had a conversation yesterday with Pankaj, and he doesn't want us to hold the release up for this data. So if we get it in time, if it comes in this week, we'll include it. If we don't, it'll go into the Plantium release when it goes out, probably middle of October. So,
and you've kind of like figured out how you make the calls and all the rest of that, yeah?
Well, that was all done. That's all being done at MaizeGDB.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mary's kind of handling all that. We're not dealing with their microarray data.
So basically, you'll just have this gene is expressed in this tissue at this stage.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Yeah. Based on whatever cutoff they use.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is they're taking the 2-fold log 2-fold differentially expressed. That's what I understand. I don't think it is a baseline expression, but we might have to confirm.
Yeah. And so we'll have them, you know, we'll prepare a wiki page for this set and have all the details of what they did with it. But this is really nice. And a lot of those annotations are already being displayed on the new MaizeGDB website. I'm not sure if it's actually from this new data set, but of course the other ones are all linked to the.
Bless you. Yeah.
Bless you. Yeah. So, and the other big thing that has been going on this summer, which of course Chris has been a big help with, was he encouraged us to move everything over to GitHub and told me that, don't worry, I know it's going to be a lot of work, but you're going to love it once it's there. And it's true. The transition to GitHub has been fairly smooth. We have, you know, we've been going through in the browsers now and making sure that everything is updated and linked to the right place, so that when we come out with the release that things are working. And so there's a few little odds and ends still on our SVN that we're still moving over there. One thing I wanted to ask you, Chris, I was looking at the cross-product files. We have cross-product files for TO and PO on our SVN still. Are those the most current ones, or do you have more current ones? Because I'd like to move those over to GitHub as well.
Well, first of all, I would keep... The plan moving forward would be we wouldn't have separate cross-product files anymore. The logical definitions would be directly incorporated into the ontology. But yeah, you could move them over in the interim.
Right.
And for the PO, there's probably not going to be that many, and it's probably going to be mostly internal. And you could just go ahead. You could just go ahead and incorporate a bunch of those for the first release.
Yeah. Well, so in terms of the TO, though, do we have a more up-to-date one?
Kind of, yeah. That's tied in with kind of like OBA as well. So Okay. Basically, I just pull them into the main kind of OBA file. And I think I used just the latest ones in that TOXB directory. We can come back to that, or we can talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah, because the ones that are on our SVN are pretty old, like 5 years old. But I thought we had a more up-to-date one when we were working with Annika.
I wasn't part of that project with Annika, so I don't know.
Okay, so we can come back to that. Mm-hmm. So the next thing that I want to talk about today was we had some questions that Barry raised. Now that we're all on GitHub and everybody can see what's going on, these questions come up. I was going to put an image in here. Barry had brought up a question about how we're defining the traits in the TO. So in the TO, as you know, and I can do people need me to show you the upper level of the TO? You've seen this before. There's like 8 upper level categories. And one of those upper level categories is what we call anatomy and morphology traits. So we had added a couple of traits and Barry raised a couple of questions about them. And Barry, is Barry still there? Looks like we actually lost him. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe he just turned off his video. Barry, are you still there?
I'm still here. And my video should still be there.
I'm sorry?
I should still be there in the video window.
Oh, okay. Now I see. Yeah, good. Okay.
So there were basically 2 issues that I had. The first was the use of is associated with. Have you got rid of that?
Well, we haven't gotten rid of it yet, but we've considered some different options that we thought.
Okay, good. So we should go through the options.
Yeah.
But the main one is that when you say a stem anatomy and morphology, right, then it's just not clear what category those traits are belonging to, because anatomy and morphology themselves are not clearly related to each other, unless you have definitions of anatomy trait and morphology trait, and then the correct thing to do would be to use the correct alternative between those two in each case. So what you have now is a bit like saying, instead of saying mammal, you say mammal and vertebrate animal or something, vertebrate animal, which is, to me anyway, obviously not good practice.
Well, I think they are pretty closely related. My understanding of anatomy is more the inside morphology, and the morphology is kind of the outer structure.
Okay, then, if there is a clear division, why not just... bin all the inside ones under anatomy trait and the outside ones under morphology trait.
Okay, well, that's something we could talk about.
What about just morphology? Are there any physiology ones under there?
No, it should not be. I think they're all...
There's internal things such as...
It's still morphology, really, isn't it? If it's about the shape or size.
Well, I think this is something we should ask Dennis, because in botany, I think these have fairly specific definitions.
I think we need to see those definitions.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
Approach.
It'd be nice if we had a place to define these, but I'm not sure in the TO where to put that.
Oh, we can put those first of all in the paper describing the TO and in the instructions that the TO created, but then also on the website. So we would explain exactly what we mean by anatomy trait, morphology trait, and so on. And we need to do that anyway.
So under anatomy and morphology trait category, I think everything what we have is based on the plant structures.
Yes.
So I think we are pretty okay if we say plant structure trait.
That would please me. That's what it's a trait of.
Yeah.
And then you can easily define plant. Trait of a plant structure.
And we have already defined plant structure and.
Yeah, and so that would be a very...
It's not telling you what that trait is, though. It's telling you what the trait is of.
Then you need to work on what you mean by trait. Okay, do you have a definition of trait?
Well, a trait is the entity and the quality.
It's a quality. So what would be qualities of plant structures which are not anatomy or morphology?
Well, we have yield traits. We have.
Yeah, but that's not the quality of the plant structure.
Yield trait is not an anatomy and morphology.
No, I understand that. I thought Barry said what.
Okay, good. So what is yield trait? Where does that go?
I'm sorry?
Where does yield trait go?
Yield trait has its own.
It's its own category.
Okay, so category.
Because it's all, remember, it's also trying to justify arguments from the community that deals with those traits.
Okay, good.
So, for example, I can say a grain number or fruit number. Technically, it is a morphology. It is a plant structure trait. So, but if it is a banana person, he would call it as a yield trait.
So a yield trait would be something like number of fruit per whole plant.
Right, grain weight, fruit numbers, and grain numbers, 1,000 grain weight, those are kinds of things.
Okay, but then they are specific to single seasons or something like that.
I'm sorry, Barry, it's kind of hard to understand you.
Is this better?
That's a little better, yeah.
So the yield, we're talking about yield per season, per life of a plant?
Yes.
With the latter? So you're talking about yield in number of fruit per life of single whole plant?
No, per field. Isn't it per field?
Yeah,
well, it can depend on, I mean, there's lots of ways it can be defined.
But it's the area anyway, no? It should be per area anyway. So what, no matter what the area, so it can be by plot or by kilometer. So
the yield traits are kind of a, why don't we get back and discuss the anatomy and morphology and see if we can get that sorted. And then
another counterexample to anatomy and morphology might be growth. Do you have growth traits?
Yes.
Yeah, we have plant growth and development traits. So I have the TO browser up here.
You still have the old Amigo 1 for that?
I'm sorry?
You haven't switched to Amigo 2 for this?
No, this is Amigo 1.8.
Yeah, no, I recognize it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have these upper-level category traits like anatomy and morphology, and I think if we wanted to define them and call it anatomy or morphology, that's fine. But then as a child of that, we have plant structure, anatomy, morphology. So the plant structure is the entity here. I don't think it's going to work to just say plant structure trait, because that's the same as the parent term, the plant trait. Because everything is a plant structure trait, really.
Well, actually,
so it's a single child?
I'm sorry?
Does it have a sibling?
Yeah. Does plant anatomy and morphology trait have a sibling?
No. So you're saying the parent would be the same, the child would be the same as the parent. Does the child have a sibling?
No. What she's trying to say is that if you call if you take out anatomy and morphology trait and make plant structure and plant structure trait, if you rename 839 as plant structure trait, then it is very similar to 387
yes,
plant trait.
That's what I'm saying.
Because plant is a plant structure. Okay.
So now I see this. I see a number of other problems. So you should never have other, and you should certainly never have other miscellaneous.
Yes. Just ignore that. That's on our list. TO needs a lot of work, I admit. Yes.
Yeah.
We all know we weren't funded to work on TO in the past, and we've done a little bit of work on it. But this is why I want to talk with you folks and get.
Yeah, so I think Chris's point is very much the point here. Are there any other children of anatomy and morphology traits other than plant structure anatomy and morphology traits?
Not yet, but there could be.
Is a whole plant, is that going to have anatomy and morphology traits?
Yes.
But
a whole plant is a plant structure.
Yeah, but where do I see whole plant anatomy?
Well, it's not in here yet, but It would go under plant strength.
Okay, so I would suggest that you're making progress if you anatomy and morphology trait and promote plant structure anatomy morphology trait to the next higher level. And then you clearly have some redundancy. So there's a mismatch, put it that way. So, can we see biochemical trait? Can you open that one just for a minute?
Biochemical trait?
Okay. Yeah.
And these haven't been worked on at all.
Yeah.
So plant structure.
So I would really like to know let's go to your yield trait again. Let's see what that looks like.
Yeah, it hasn't really had much attention, but this is a complex one. So these are terms that we're generally using here. The one thing that we have worked on a little bit in the yield trait, let's see where I can find it here. But getting back to this, you know, Barry, I think your point about having anatomy or a morphology trait is maybe better.
Just to get rid of morphology, just say plant structure and anatomy trait, and then define anatomy trait in such a way that it includes.
Or maybe like Chris's point, get rid of anatomy and keep morphology.
But now you want the trait ontology to link up to the plant anatomy ontology. So we don't use morphology in the PO. So I would check with Dennis, first of all. Whether he agrees that morphology here is redundant.
Maybe morphology includes anatomy, though.
You can't have morphology without anatomy.
And how can you have anatomy without morphology? What would be an example of an anatomical quality not also a morphological quality?
Well, anatomical quality is underspecified, but you could have a quality in which an anatomical structure is a participant, but it's not pertaining to the anatomy sensu structure. So, for example, leaf physiology or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not going to go properly here.
Well, that's the point. It wouldn't go.
So we would need to split into two if we did have such things.
That's exactly the idea. People generally want to see physiology as separate from morphology.
Yeah. So that's, again, I would push on that and see what Dennis says.
So here's my understanding is every plant structure is an anatomy instance. Whereas morphology is the shape and form of that structure. And that is where morphology comes in, because you cannot have shape and forms without an anatomical structure with it.
Right. So the anatomy is basically the structure of the internal. So
for example, if you have leaf with different kinds of shapes, that is a morphological.
That's morphological.
Okay, then I would suggest again,
the different venation patterns is an anatomical trait. So the morphology is like the shape of the whole leaf.
And then split them. Morphology will just be shape traits, and anatomy will be those traits of plant structures which are pertaining to non-shape. I don't know. I think that
I just sent a link in the chat. If you can click on
that. Yeah.
The problem with doing this is, so what we've been trying to do in the TO is follow the structure of, I don't mean to overuse the word structure, but follow the pattern of the plant ontology. So under plant structure, anatomy, and morphology, we have the various subcategories or subclasses which follow those in the plant ontology. And this gives us kind of a, you know, trying not to say structure again, a pattern to follow.
But the plant ontology doesn't have anatomy or morphology or anything.
No.
Plant ontology has only anatomy. Morphology is basically your phenotype characters associated or qualities associated with those structures.
So I'm now tempted to say drop anatomy, just have morphology, because a venation pattern would also be a shape kind of thing.
It's a it is a morphology.
So everything is morphology, just use morphology then.
It's too bad Dennis isn't on this call, because I think he could.
So you would need to clear it with him. Ask him if he can think of any trait which is anatomical but not morphological.
So, for example, I would say cell number is not morphology; it's anatomy.
It's morphology. It's
number of cells is more. It's not morphology. It is going to determine or change the shape and form of the plant structure where those excessive number of cells are formed.
So it's morphological at one level, but not the level at which you're measuring things.
So what I was even confused with between anatomy and morphology. So that's why I created a very generic bin saying, let it be there and see how we are able to, because there are a lot of traits under that, a lot of children under that class is, I sometimes either referring to anatomy or sometimes to the morphological shape and form of that particular anatomical structure, right? So that could be one of those options looking at it. So if you have more number of mitochondria or more number of plastids inside a plant cell, then it is an anatomical thing. But if you have elongated mitochondria and elongated plastids, then it is a morphological aspect of that particular plant organelle.
Yeah, it's the morphology of the organelle, but it's the anatomy.
It's shape and form based on the outer boundaries of that particular plant structure.
So shape, form, and size, remember, morphology includes size.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think the general term needs to be a morphology if we're going to go with one or the other.
No, it sounds like it has to be more general. If Pankaj's quantity doesn't count here as morphology, is what you're saying now, I think.
Yeah, number is an anatomical thing.
But like root, here we have a trait, root nodule number.
Yep.
Yes.
That's a morphological trait.
No, it's an anatomical, because root nodule itself is a plant structure. And so you
I am like the more number of structures. 1 minute, unfortunately.
Okay, so I think the way forward is quite clear. You either... Let's separate the naming and the definition, but the definition should be the union of morphology and quantity. And how you name that is, you could name it morphology or quantity trait, which will be like very unfriendly, I think, to a lot of users.
Yeah, I agree.
Or you could use it, or you could call it something like just anatomy trait and say, here we are using anatomy trait means morphology or number. Or you can just keep the existing label, which seems to be what people like, and just define it.
So here's what I think here's what an anatomical structure associated with its quality of shape, size, form, or color, a number.
No, I don't like this associated with. No one knows what it
means. No, means it's a quality of an anatomical structure in the by way of shape, size, form, or number.
But it's a shape quality. Or it's a form quality, or it's a number quality.
Yes.
You don't need by association with that. That's just adding an extra layer.
Yeah. So, for example, even color is the same situation. Leaf color.
Yeah, exactly.
Leaf color is a morphology trait.
Yeah. You wouldn't say color is a leaf associated with color.
No.
Red is a leaf associated with color. You would say red is a quality.
Red
leaf quality or red leaf trait is a trait which red color.
Yeah, so if I understand, it's quality trait of a plant structure observed as shape, size, color, and number, or whichever you
want. Well, I don't think we want to start listing all the qualities.
We don't want observed. That's also adding another layer. So it's still red, even if it's not observed.
So, I mean, okay, so maybe we need to talk about this some more. And
yeah, I think so. Maybe schedule another call, but with Dennis on the call.
Also, a lot of this kind of falls naturally out of however you axiomatize it in the OWL and what equivalence axioms you put there.
Yeah.
There you're actually making a commitment that's beyond text. It's an actual logical commitment. And you can see the actual implications of your choices when you switch the reasoner on and see what classification it gives you.
Mm-hmm. So let's just summarize here what we're talking about proposing. We're going to talk to Dennis and find out how he feels about anatomy and morphology, right? And then the proposal is to incorporate that definition into the parent term, plant structure, anatomy, and morphology trait.
So
in this,
I think what is going to happen here is your 017 and 0839 would be merged. There's no point in having two separate instances.
So are there any anatomy and morphology traits that are not associated with a plant structure?
There is absolutely none. Because you itself have in our ontology structure that we are looking at right now, there is only one.
There is only one right now, but we have to think about in the universe, is there any anatomy and morphology traits that are not associated with the plant structure?
Technically speaking, all the other traits that you have in your, where is it gone?
Okay, just a second. I was just going to open the PO here.
Okay, I need to try my phrase.
I think the answer is no, insofar as you're always talking about single, up to one plant. But have you thought about population traits?
Right, no.
Yield is a population trait in a way, but population morphology traits.
Any of these traits can be evaluated either at an individual accession or individual organism level too.
I'm not talking about the level at which you assay. I'm talking about something like if you wanted to actually have the morphology of a whole forest canopy or something like that.
Yeah, so like a canopy temperature. So canopy can be for, again, it's an individual tree versus the whole forest.
Or maybe more something like canopy thickness or something like that, something morphological.
Okay.
At the level of a population.
So where do you put the canopy?
Canopy outside PO because it is a mereological sum of.
Uh-oh.
What happened there?
Why does everyone say that? It says it on mine too.
I don't know what's going on. Hello? Is everybody still there?
Well, we're still moving.
Well, that ended that conversation.
That's how we deal with it.
The problem is that we have a substance. Okay, here we are.
I
kind of lost you guys there for a second. Let me share my screen again.
Did we still lose Ponkitch and Barry too?
Apparently. I think Barry was saying that he had to take another call anyway. My point that I was making while no one could hear it, let me just make sure the recording is turned on. I don't know what happened there. It dropped the call. Sorry about that.
I still can't see the recording icon.
You can? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Oh, I see the point you're making now. Okay, yeah, so... Structure is more specific than anatomical entity.
And those just have not been added yet, but my thinking was that eventually those would be added. So that's why I'm hesitant to combine those two. You know...
Is that something you really care about differentiating at the level of classes in TO, whether it's an anatomical entity or a structure?
Well, you know, the rule we've been kind of using, and we use the same rule in the PO, is that if our collaborators ask for those terms, or if we have data that we want to annotate with those terms, then we create them. You know, but we haven't systematically gone through and made them all yet. But I could see how there would be anatomy and or morphology traits of different plant spaces, because the spaces in the plant, for example, the stomata, the stomatal openings are very important.
Sure, but do you really want to kind of like reify that distinction here at the level of TO and have a parallel hierarchy for space traits? I think people would just think of those in the same way as morphological traits, like stomatal widths. And any space trait, you can recast it as a structured phrase.
You can, of course. You can talk about the structures around it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we would have to have a separate hierarchy. We would just have some child terms there. I mean, because the plant structure hierarchy is going to be a lot more, it's going to include all of these other things. But I'm just saying, I don't think we want to make the plant, the 839, the plant structure, anatomy, and morphology trait, the overall parent.
So,
for that reason, because down the road, we may want to add a term to describe those other things if we need it.
Yeah, I think we're maybe overanalyzing it. I think it's basically, you want the top trait. You want this guy, whatever we call it, to be quite inclusive and include.
And this anatomy and morphology, the general term anatomy and morphology trait, also can describe GO terms, because we have.
Of course, yeah, yeah, GO cell components, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the GO cellular components. The way this is written is it's the anatomy and morphology of a plant anatomical entity, which is our top level plant structure parent, or a constituent cellular component, which is very important in plants because we have a lot of traits concerned with chloroplasts, for example. Yeah. Yes. So we have mutants that are lacking chloroplasts.
Mm-hmm.
Or the chloroplasts have a different shape. You know, they're...
Sure, of course. Yeah, I just automatically lump GO cell component under anatomy. And I use the term gross anatomy if I want to explicitly.
Yeah, so this was our thinking here. Was this one covered these different types of structures that we might have?
Structures and spaces, if you really want
structures it. Structures and spaces, or
and substances.
Structure components, or the cell wall.
Sure, yeah.
Which is not in the PO.
So no, I don't think about it in terms of if it's in the PO or not, or in the GO. It's all.
Yeah.
It's structure, if it's an anatomical entity, it's an anatomical entity, whether it's NPO or...
Right, but it's not a plant anatomical entity.
Yeah, or part of plant anatomical entity. It can be a part of.
If you're talking about it, it's a plant anatomical entity, even if it's got a GO prefix in front. You're talking about...
Yes.
We even say, as well as those of plant anatomical spaces and portions of plant substance. So we've kind of covered this in the comment, I think. But I think perhaps we could make this better. I mean, I've never actually been that happy with using this anatomy and morphology trait. I would love to have a better suggestion for that.
But it takes a long time to
say. Yeah, it takes a long time to say, and it takes a long time to write out. So, I mean, maybe we could just... So I'll talk with Dennis, and we'll figure out if we can actually just call them a morphology. If in the botanical world, if morphology could include the anatomy, or if the anatomy could include the morphology. And what we also need to figure out, are there cases where there things are anatomy and morphology traits? Or is everything, because this was Barry's question, was should we be using or, you know, or do we want to split them into two? And I don't think we really want to split them into two, because I think that's just going to really inflate things. So.
But Laurel, what if a trait is a quality trait and also a morphological trait? I mean, it happens a lot.
Well, sure.
So the idea is, I think by is a rule, it has to have at least one parent. But in some cases, for example, if you have Tiller number or side branches number, for example.
Yeah, or pod number or anything.
It can be a growth trait. It can be a yield trait contributing to the yield trait, or it could be contributing, and it's obviously an anatomy trait as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot, I mean, all of these have quality on them. So I'm not sure if I really understood your question.
So basically everything other than all the instances under biochemical or everything else is somewhat associated to some plant structure.
Yeah.
Basically everything is a quality what we are looking at.
Okay, and so what if don't you think a trait can be a biochemical trait and a morphological trait?
Sure.
Biochemical trait would be like, for example, potassium content, right? Sodium content, or you are looking at aldehyde dehydrogenase activity, which is a go function term.
Mm-hmm.
So those become biochemical traits. Physiological traits would be like transpiration rate, photosynthesis rate, water uptake, water use efficiency trait, drought is a physiological trait. So, but drought is a very generic thing. There are a lot of other additional traits associated with that kind of things.
So we don't really have a physiological trait in here.
Where is?
We have growth and development traits.
Can you check for transpiration? Where does it feed? Search for transpiration? Unless we don't have one.
We have transpiration rate, yes.
Where does it fall in
the
physiological?
Oh, these are under biological
process-related traits. By Go definition, physiological process is a biological process.
Yeah.
That's how the hierarchy is coming in. Is that right, Chris?
Biological process.
Physiological process is a biological process.
Yeah, that was the case in Go like 8 years ago or something, but it's all just...
It's not anymore.
There's just biological process. Again, what's... Yeah.
So why is biological process a biochemical trait?
I don't know. This is weird.
Yeah.
Because everything is driven by the bio. But that's how I had it a very long time ago. It's 7-8 years.
Yeah, I mean, everything's like, you know, quantum particle trait. But
maybe you can take out physiological process trait as its own standalone. And biological process like pathways and things like that can become biochemical traits. But at what time your transpiration rate is not a biochemical trait? Because it is all driven by biochemistry.
Well, everything is driven
by that. What time your photosynthesis rate is a physiological rate and it's not a biochemical rate. It is a biochemical. So everything is under that category. Everything is a biochemical trait, although it is influenced by the environment in which the plant grows. But if you want, what else is under the biochemical trait other than biological process?
Okay.
Content and the concentration.
The content and the concentration. Yeah.
Can we take a look?
We saw that.
Oh, what is it? Biological process, enzymatic activity, because those are functions. Wait.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just getting this so that we could look at it. Metabolite content. So here's a question, Pankaj. I remember there was some discussion about this before, and I don't remember what the answer was. What's the difference with the content versus concentration? Because we have a bunch of terms that are like amino acid content or carbohydrate content, and then we also have concentration terms.
Oh, so concentration is a relative term because you are putting it in terms of per gram weight or something like that. Whereas somebody would say the content of potassium was more in this cellular compartment versus another cellular compartment. So it's more potassium versus less potassium, more auxin versus less auxin. That is the total amount versus per gram. If it is concentration, it will be per gram fresh rate. There are two differences, two different things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you say I have a potassium was present as 0.1 millimolar level, that is a concentration. It is
right. I understand what concentration is, but why would we have content and concentration? That's what I don't understand.
That's why I'm saying sometimes depending on how you assay it, it is a concentration. Sometimes it's a concentration. Sometimes it's a content.
But when you're measuring something, you have to know what, like when you say lignin content, what does that mean?
Means it's concentration. I have two plants, plant A versus plant B, and with reference to plant A, plant B has more lignin content. I don't know what is the actual concentration, but this is a subjective.
So it's a relative.
It's a qualitative trend saying it's a
relative measure. Then.
High. I don't know whether the concentration was high or not. Concentration can still be low, but the overall content can still be high. Because you have a bigger biomass. Do you see per gram fresh weight?
I just think this is something that we really need to define carefully, because I think this is confusing for the curators when they go to this to where to put things.
No.
Let's look at a concentration term. Where is a concentration term located?
Check search for concentration.
Oh yeah, I could just do that. Okay, so like, oh, we have a lot of them. So let's look at iron concentration.
Yeah, but those are all chemicals versus like lignin, which is more like a...
Yeah, but I mean, you could measure. So this is based on a given volume.
Yeah.
So this is right, this is under biochemical trait. Okay. Mineral ion.
Here you see 60, wait, don't worry. You have copper concentration and you have copper content. There are two terms here. Iron concentration, iron content. There, everything has a concentration and a content. If you evaluated per gram fresh weight or per gram volume or whatever it is, it's the molar concentration. That is where you have
a right. Okay, and so the parent term here is mineral and iron content related trait.
Yeah.
But then under this are the concentrations.
That is, I don't see a problem. Is there a problem?
I'd like to see what
the definition differences. The definition difference between that is defined in, you know, like per amount or per gram or per.
Right, that's concentration.
Right, that's content. Content just is like lists it.
You can say mineral and iron quality trait. I don't mind. Then it is very generic.
I just think if we're going to have both of these together under one thing, it's the same sort of thing. It's like this category is content or concentration. And then we just need to define it so that the curators know which one to put it on.
So it's you can remove the word content. It's a mineral and iron related trait, iron trait.
And then maybe but do we need to have both of these? I mean, couldn't these all be like, okay, so here's copper concentration and copper content. Let's look at those two. I'll open them separately. So the copper content is the total copper ion content measured in a plant or plant part.
Yes.
And the copper concentration is the total copper ion concentration measured in a given volume of a plant or plant part or plant extract.
Yes.
I don't know. It seems to me like they could be combined.
No, they cannot be. Sorry. They cannot.
Well, why is it the total copper ion concentration? It would just be the copper ion concentration.
It can be.
Yeah. And a given volume or mass...
Yeah,
mass.
You can remove the word total out of it.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
It's the same. If somebody determines what is the amount of sodium in my body versus in my son's body, the concentration may be the same or maybe a little higher in his body. But content-wise, we may be different.
But my point is, like, under copper content, this has to be per something, doesn't it?
No.
Because if you're looking at the total copper ion content.
In a plant or plant parts.
Right.
If you say per, that becomes a concentration.
But you can have a percentage, Laurel.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out how these are different. I mean, I understood it better when you said this was a relative term. So maybe the terms should be called relative copper content. Because it made sense when you were saying like the ion concentration in or the copper content in your body versus your son's body.
No, there's a problem. You cannot have a relative in your definition all the time. Because if you're doing a QTL trait, you would not do the relative aspect unless you've analyzed all the plants of that population. Whereas for individual plant, you are saying, I'm determining copper content of plant A, plant B, plant C, plant D. And then you would say relative would come at the end of the analysis. So it's not a relative at that point of time. So if it's in your breeding, whatever is breeding data collection, breeding management system, it will have plant A, plant B, plant C, plant D. The trait evaluated was copper content, and they would say copper content was 0.1 milligrams, 0.2 milligrams per gram dry weight or something, whatever it is.
Per gram dry weight.
If they have it, somewhat dry weight, somewhat wet weight or something.
Right, but it has to be per something.
It doesn't make any sense
to have a content without measured it in.
The problem here is sometimes you want to be flexible. The more you enforce them in your criteria, in your definition, it may or may not qualify. Because when you read the papers, this definition was written deliberately to make it more generic, rather, because I curated some of those QTLs and papers. So I know what their people are reporting.
So we actually have QTL data associated with these.
There are QTLs.
Is that why they're in there?
Data types associated with all those kinds of things.
Yeah, okay.
Some people will just take an image, do a mass spec or something like that, or just do an imaging of the ions. And they will say that they fluoresce more. That's why the content is more. It has nothing to do with your relative aspects.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. And then, you know, maybe it would help to look at the, I just want to make this make sense to people so that when we look at it, we know what these mean and, you know, what goes where. So this is valuable to have this conversation about this. Because
And there is no comment here. So you can add a comment saying these are not necessarily concentrate. If you're looking for concentration, go look for that other term.
Yeah. And so I think what would help here actually is to revise the parent term here and add some explanation here.
So you can, it can be just a mineral and iron trait. But Chris, here we are all the time ending into a situation where I don't think we should be adding plant prefix to every term, right?
No, I've never particularly liked that much.
Because we have all these things like plant embryo and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
All right. So, I mean, that was a very nice discussion about terminology, but, you know, I think a lot of these things are just going to come out once you start working in OWL and looking at the actual equivalence axioms using Pato. It will, and then you can focus on the actual Pato definitions and see if you agree in its definition of concentration.
Right.
And so.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do people have to leave or?
Yeah, I have to leave quite shortly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe for the next time, Chris, you could give us a little term genie demo.
Okay, what, just on the OBA, like I did before?
Yeah.
Those are all going out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Pankaj and I were talking yesterday about working towards getting a term genie instance set up for TO.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I think we should plan to meet again in 2 weeks.
Okay.
My calendar is still on November, but that puts us on the 29th. Does that work for you, Chris?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Good. And we still had a couple of questions for Barry, but maybe we can catch up with him at another time. And if not, maybe on the 29th. And I will follow up with Dennis and see if we can get some clarification on the definitions for the anatomy and morphology terms. So thank you very much, everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I will also be sending out a doodle poll and some more information about planning for this workshop.
Okay. Yeah. Chris,
get together and hash out these things in person a little bit more.
Chris, you came in late, but we're planning to have all the developers and ontology developers and software developers coming together in Oregon sometime in October and November for a developers can be there for 3 days roughly, and ontology ones can go a little longer to do a Prodigy workshop.
That's going to work out better in November, I think.
November is better for you. I think November is better for most people. We were kind of looking at early November.
After the first week.
Oh.
That's the second week, which Barry also coincides with.
Yeah,
it's going to be like 14, 15.
Well, so I'll send a doodle poll around and we can see what works.
Yeah.
Be really good if we could get Dennis here too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hello.
Yeah.
Just a question.
Okay.
Do you want to meet again? Do you want to?
Yes, I do. We got lots of things to talk about. I was thinking maybe we could do it later this week. I have two workshops on, but I think I could do it first thing in the morning, like Thursday or Friday. Let me just look at my. Hang on. Is this? Let me just stop this.